Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
The following advertisement is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
Hello, you are listening to a commercial for the podcast Over the Top Rope,
the flagship podcast of the Wind Column Sports Network,
as well as a proud member of Backbreaker Media.
Again, this podcast is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
You can find us pretty well anywhere that podcasts are played, including on the iTunes,
Podbean,
the Google Play,
SoundCloud,
and on windcolumnsports.ca for all your previews,
reviews,
and breaking news from the world of professional wrestling.
Tune in every Friday on Backbreaker Media, a member of Wind Column Sports.
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_RingsideRant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to a Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish,
and myself, Manoya,
and the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to drop, but sometimes Mike Mellowaney doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of the cue. Supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm drunk.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no. You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah.
Later,
reset.
Later, bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Total Nonstop Anarchy. I am your host, Andre C., joined this week, as I am every week, by my co-host, my good friend, Daniel Jobber. How you doing, my friend?
Great, man. Daniel Jobber here with you in the house once again.
Back in the asylum, as it was officially named
the
on
asylum
this episode.
House. Yeah, they got our name going now.
Yeah, they truth named it the asylum, so it's official now.
It's the truth, man, the truth.
He tells you. So, as always, we are here to talk about NWA TNA weekly pay-per-views, and this one was an interesting one.
Yeah, it was interesting. I'm not going to say it was the best show ever, but and
we've watched a couple.
Hype, so that's
We've watched worse. I'll say I've watched worse than this one.
Yeah, we've watched the wrestling was okay. Some of the matches that were a little quick, but anyways.
Yeah, but we're going to get into this, and it's NWA TNA Weekly Pay-Per-View number 9 from Nashville, Tennessee at the Nashville Fairgrounds Coliseum on August 14th, 2002, 4 days after my 15th birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, man, or, well, happy round this
belated
time.
Happy birthday?
Yeah, something like that. It's also Ricky Steamboat's birthday, and no, there's a lot of birthdays right now. Nice. That's why he wasn't on the show tonight, because this time at that time, he was...
He's probably partying. He's just, screw wrestling, I'm going to party.
Yeah, partying with Richard Blood III, man. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
So he has a cool name, cool real name as well as a wrestling name.
Yeah, he really did. So on this show, we got a dark match.
Oh, good. What was that?
James Storms and Chris Harris defeated Brian Lee and David Young.
Nice. Is it kind of a squashy match, or...?
I have no idea. I just pulled it off a results page.
Okay.
you can't really see the dark matches, so I just found it on a info page. So
they don't give a recount at all of the match.
No, just as James Storm and Chris Harris beat Brian Lee and David Young.
That'd be a good match, anyway.
Yeah. So the pay per view kicks off, and we get a recap of the title change from last week. And yeah, I thought it was a good strong video package to get Truth over as the new champion.
Yeah, it was good. It was a great victory. I mean, I think he's going to be a great champion. And of course, he had a chance to cut his promo on, you know, on being held back as a black man in a what they call a white man's world. He said in WWE.
Yeah. So the opening video kicks, and then it comes in, fans cheering. I notice this like dude in full cowboy. He's wearing a cowboy hat, but he's wearing like a. I don't even know what team's like football jersey, and just looks so redneck. Oh, I'm sorry, it's just, you know, it's Nashville, man. It's a full of rednecks.
Yeah, I guess so.
So the show kicks off, and Jerry Borash brings out the new NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Ron the Truth Killings.
Yeah, my favorite.
I was a little down on him in the first few episodes, but since he's kind of turned the corner in his promos he's run the last couple episodes, I really think this guy's really gotten over.
Yeah, the fans were digging him anyways. It's amazing. Later on we'll talk more about that. But yeah, the fans are digging him as champion anyways.
Oh, yeah. And then he says, they got the truth. This point forward, they're in his house. And his house is the TNA Asylum. So I think that's the first time that it was called the Asylum.
Yeah, the truth makes the name.
it's the truth, baby. The additive, his words, the additive of his 30 years of life.
32.
And he says his 30 years of life and became a legend.
Okay. I know he says
that was the wording, and I'm like, I wrote the wording. He just literally says, the additive of his 30 years of life and became a legend. Yeah,
or this championship. I don't know, but it'd be 30 years plus. We really should.
Yeah, well, he said this championship is the additive of 30 years. That doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, because it was the culmination. Was more like.
So what he's saying is the title is an ingredient to the last 30 years of his life. Is what he's saying.
Yeah, pretty much an additive. Yeah.
The guy isn't known for. He's known for speaking, but not saying the right words sometimes.
It's bad.
Yeah. He says he came in very bitter and had a reason. He wasn't sure if he'd get the opportunities. His whole life, the color of his skin has made it harder to compete. You know him from the WWF, and he was told by a senior official he couldn't make the same mistakes as other people could because he was black.
Black man in a white man's world. That's the way he put it.
It is reality though. What he's saying is all essentially truth.
But he's not playing any race card. What?
No. Somebody else decides to do that. He says he is a damn legend. Then he goes off, starts spewing the racial
black
stuff.
Black man in a man's world. That's what he changes it to.
he says that, and then he just goes off, spews some, like, he just goes into racial stuff. Yeah, at that point, I'm just like, yeah, I don't need to write most of this down. And then good old Double J, Jeff Jarrett, comes on out.
Good news, someone interrupts him. Bad news, it's JF or J Jarrett.
It's his tag team partner.
Yeah, soon to be.
And then Jeff Jarrett calls him Walt Disney. He says he can't believe the bullshit. It's reverse discrimination.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jeff Jarrett says he isn't denying fact. Says truth was given the chance because the color of his skin, and he was robbed.
Yep.
And he's like, he starts asking Truth, give him a shot of the title, give him a shot of the title. Truth says they became friends and everything when they first got there, and he says if you want it, come get it. And as Jarrett's going up to the ring, who makes his big comeback on this show?
Oh, the good news, the bad news, no Ricky Steamboat. Even worse news, it's Bill Barons.
Bill friggin' Barons. I hate this guy.
Yeah.
With a pack. And I think this is the only time we see him tonight, because he's not even the only enforcer now, or the only guy in charge now.
Yeah, he says, I'm in charge, and then, of course, at the end, it's somebody else. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, so literally I wrote this. Bill Barons is back, and he has a stupid hat and a big group of security. That hat was stupid.
And he's saying all trash talking, like, slap nuts and all this stuff. Like, who the heck does he think he is? Like, he's not that cool.
He calls himself the new sheriff, bad boy, Billy Barons. He's back and back with a vengeance. Kick him once, shame on him. Kick him twice, shame on kick me once, shame on you, Jeff Jarrett. Kick me twice, shame on you again, Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
I was just like, I hate you.
Yeah.
He literally says slimmy slappy shrammy, and then I wrote, Bill Barons really sucks.
Yep.
He calls Jeff Jarrett slippy slappy slap stuff.
What the hell?
So then Jeff Jarrett threatens him, his security stops him, and then out of nowhere, Brian Lawler just comes out and starts attacking Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, like out of nowhere, and he hasn't been on the show in weeks, and it's like, what the heck?
And he's screaming, you did this, Jarrett, it's all your fault, and I'm so confused. This company...
It's like, what? Again, yeah. They keep getting
like, this company is constantly flipping and flopping on people.
Yeah.
They've been doing it with Lynn and AJ Styles since the beginning.
Awful more than the International House of Pancakes.
So Lawler ends up, like, he's getting all pissed, and he goes to take a chair from the fan in the front row. Did you see the fan just holds on to the chair and won't let it go? And he's, like, fighting with the fan, and he literally goes at the fan, and security has to grab him. He was ready. I swear to God, he was ready to kick the crap out of the fan. He wouldn't give him the chair. The guy would not give up the chair. And then so security ends up breaking up the brawl. And then Lawler screams again. I know it was you, Jeff Jarrett. And it's all your fault. Yeah, and it doesn't even pay off tonight.
No,
which is the worst part. So they go to the announcer's table and they recap the brawl and the talking and everything. They promote the tag title match. They promote the X Division Championship handicap four-way. I don't know what it is. It just yeah.
How to make sense of this show, man? It's just a senseless nonsense.
Pretty much. So they cut back to the ring, and it's time for match number one of the evening. And this is at 18 minutes and 14 seconds into this pay-per-view broadcast.
Yeah. A filler to start the show.
If this had been actual TV, that would have been 35 minutes in.
Yeah, crazy.
Because if it was a TV with commercials, yeah. So the first match of the evening is Kid Kash, Shark Boy, and the debut of Slim J.
17 years old, 1.5 years pro from Detroit.
Yeah, douchebag, right?
Yeah.
He walks out and like grabs his junk as he's walking out.
Yeah, he's definitely a weird character. I got some fun to have with him in a minute here.
And they're taking on the Spanish announced team, and they are Jose and Joel Maximo and the Amazing Red, or as you know, you call him.
Oh, Amazing Red is Mr. Figueroa.
Mr. Figueroa. So we get into it. Kid Cashin, Jose, Maximo start. A lot of good
arm drag fest. I love the arm drag fest.
Yeah, chain wrestling, and then works into arm drag sequence with went a good 30-40 seconds.
Yeah, I like arm drags. That was actually kind of fun. It could be considered filler, but at least it's good filler in my book.
And then it ends with Kid Cash slapping Jose, and Jose just slaps him right the heck back.
And he gives him tries to give him a handshake, and he gets a middle finger. That was funny.
Yeah, I don't like they slap each other, so he goes oh, let's shake hands because we both slap each other. We're good. It's just I'm just what?
Yeah. Then we get a drop kick from Kid Cash from the top turnbuckle, sends Joel into the barricade, and then it gets pretty chaotic.
Joel got tagged in. And then they go back and forth. Joe is sent over the rope, and then he goes over, he kind of slips on the apron and fell to the floor. And then it comes back up, and that's when Cash goes and drop kicks him to the floor, which is why the heck didn't you just stay on the floor? You know what's coming. So Cash goes, hops over the top rope, lands on Joel, I think it's Joel, and hits him with a Rana on the floor. So I guess it's lucha rules at this point, because Sharkboy and Jose decide to get in the ring, and they go back and forth. And then Jose dives onto Kid Cash on the outside. Then Sharkboy dives onto Joel, who's on the floor. And it's just lucha rules still apply. And Amazing Red and Slim J get into the match. They're fighting in the ring, and then...
And hey, man. He's Slim J. Yes, he's the real Slim J. Jenna, I want the real Slim J. Please grow up. Please grow up. Please grow up.
Oh, Jesus. You want to know something? Slim J grew up, and he's still Slim J on wrestling circuits to this day, my friend. I went and looked him up.
This looks like a job for Jay. Yes, everybody, come follow Jay, because he really going to make SAT pay, because he'd want to be Eminem, this Slim Jay.
Oh, that was terrible. I'm sorry, that was terrible.
You don't want to be Eminem, this Slim Jay.
Yeah, that was not good.
Not even
slightly good. Yeah, I can't find the page I want. I literally found his Facebook page at one point. Yeah, but this guy is he's still doing. Oh, found it. The real Slim J.
Yeah, he's a real douchebag.
He's literally going by the real Slim J. That song is so appropriate now. Yeah, he is. He's still wearing the wife beater. He's wearing the visor with gone to the side.
Might be the only chance he got.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm just looking at... He's working for Experience Wrestling, Action Wrestling. I don't know what... just random indies. Wow. It's this guy. Jesus.
And then, of course, it's Stone Cold Slim J. Wonder why he got out of bed at all. This is totally off the wall. It reminds me the TNA is not so bad. Not so bad.
I had to do that too. All right, we'll get back to the match at this point. So Slim J and Red fight in the ring. Then Slim J goes to the top. Moonsaults off the top onto the Maximos and Shark Boy. So he takes out his own partner in this. So then... Amazing Red, he goes on. He hits just does a tope to the outside onto the group. Then Kid Cash is like, "I'm gonna do a move," and then he goes up the top, hits a somersault splash onto the group. So Cash then sends Joel back inside, hits a slingshot leg drop, gets a two count. Cash then applies I don't know what it was, but it looks like a leg. He traps the arms, you pull them back for a. Pulled him back for the stretch, but he trapped him with his legs.
Yeah,
I thought it was an interesting little move. I'd never seen it done before.
Yeah, it was different.
Yeah, and then Slim J gets tagged in, and he hits an assisted senton from Cash, and then to Joel, but then he goes to hit a running shooting star press, and just bam, right to the mat. I loved it. And Joel puts on a torture rack, and Jose and Red both come off the top and just stomp this kid.
Double stomps twice, yeah.
I love them stomping that kid.
That's what I was going to. It's Stone Cold Chase. Or it's Stone Cold Slim J. Wonder why he got out of bed at all.
And then the Maximos apply like a lion tamer, camel, like a reverse lion tamer and camel clutch combo.
Yeah, they called it a surfboard, a Boston crab combo. And that was sick.
It looked like a camel clutch and then like and it was on two. It was on two of the guys, and then Red just runs in, just drop kicks him right in the face.
Yeah,
right
into the
it was
great. That was beautiful combos, man. From the beautiful
SATs
tag team.
Amazing Red. Okay, I missed that. I screwed up that. My words don't even make sense in that line.
I just said awesome, crazy. He almost gets a three count on Slim J after that too.
Oh, yeah. And then Cash gets tagged in, and he goes to hit a move, but then he just drops him.
Yeah.
It just kind of got messed up, and then he just picks up Amazing Red, slams him, and hits a jumping elbow drop for a two count. Cash then sends Amazing Red to the apron, and then Amazing Red climbs up to the top, and Cash just runs and jumps up, and then just hits a body slam right off the top. I thought that looked great. Yeah,
there's a whole lot of awesome going on here, man. That was a good match.
And I'll say this: Kid Cash is not known for being a high flying aerial guy. He does some. He's known for being a technical guy.
Yeah, surprisingly, so, yeah. Very high flying.
Oh yeah. Slim J then tagged in and hits this terrible enziguri, then misses a Phoenix Splash.
Yep.
So then all the men come in. And they're fighting, and then SAT whips all three, it's just a big brawl at this point. Cash hits a top rope Rana and a running tornado DDT. Then Amazing Red comes off the top with like a zigzag, or I don't know what it was, hitting Cash and got a two count.
All I was saying was, Kid Cash going to Jackson Town.
Shark Boy comes in, hits what he calls the explosion. I can't remember exactly what the move was. Hits the explosion for two. Then Cash and Amazing Red are in. Cash hits a butterfly pile driver, the double unhook pile driver. And then Jose and Sate makes the save on that one, on that pinfall. Because, man, that pile driver looks sick.
And don't forget, Slim J repeatedly grabbing his nuts to make sure they're still there. When facing the SAT, who can blame him?
So, this is where Jay Briscoe got his move. Because remember, Jay Briscoe's doing dark matches. That's where he figured out his finisher, the Jay Driller from. He stole it from Kid Cash. There we go. So, Slim J hits Jose with a neck breaker. Then Sharkboy inadvertently ends up, he crotches Slim J when he's on the top. And the SAT run up, and they hit the double Spanish fly, and Amazing Red hits the Code Red, and they get, and the Spanish announced team gets the victory at 10 minutes and 39 seconds.
Yep, that's what I was saying.
The second longest match of the night.
Maximo's in a burning ring of fire.
That was the second match of the night. Or second longest match of the night.
Yeah, I said it was the best. I mean, really, it was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And of course, the announcer says, that usually he gets, how do they say it again? He says, what does he say? He usually finishes the deal with a Spanish fly himself. Personally, I think he'd need a roofie to close most deals.
So guess what's up? Guess what's next?
Wait, though. I got one more for you. I got one more for you. It's the ending. This ends in defeat. The debut of Ha. My name is Ha. My name is Ha. My name is Wicca Wicca Slim J.
Oh, Jesus! But guess what's next?
Girls dancing in cages!
Yes, girls in cages dancing, baby. So they go to girls in cages dancing, and then they cut to the back, and it's Goldilocks in the back with the Dupps.
Oh, God.
So she tells them, don't touch her. She's disgusted by them, as she should be.
And she whacks them with the mic in the juju bees.
Yeah, so Stan starts saying random shit. He says, Crisco Disco, Disco Crisco, I don't know what the heck he says. Says there's something between them, and that's where she smacks him in the crotch with the mic. I loved it. So then Bo decides they want to do a crib-style thing with their porta-potty called Shitters.
Shit-eaters.
Shitters. And then they open up the porta-potty. It smells terrible. And then they say the smell's been there for 5 years. I'm like,
the chocolate ain't going to taste like a Hershey bar.
Oh, God damn it. Thank God we cut away, and it's back to the ring for match number two of the evening.
Oh,
and
no,
is
not thank God. This is even worse.
I'm sorry. I'd rather watch this than the Duffs, dude.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
And it's Miss TNA Bruce.
You really love him.
So Miss TNA comes out, and Bruce says, gets on the mic, says he says he loves them all, and they made his ring beautiful, and what he has beneath the gown makes him more woman than any other woman here. He keeps calling them hose bags and calling
them
ugly.
Good heel work. He really does insult the women of Nashville. Well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty good heel work, I think.
He says all the married men are secretly fantasizing about Miss TNA and what they can do to Miss TNA. No.
Yeah, I don't really love him.
No. He says any hose bags can come in and if any hose bags can come in and pin them, they will win the Miss TNA crown, and he will write them a check for $5,000. So he picks this random fat chick.
Large lady from the crowd, yeah.
And I did look online. It's reported that her name is Tina Hamilton, because obviously she's a plant.
Yes.
Because those scoop slams were too good to not be a plant.
Has a beautiful one-arm spear.
Yeah, so Bruce goes in the corner, and they about to come out running, and she spears the living shit out of him.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then she scoop slams him, and she hits a leg drop.
Yeah.
She then throws him over the top.
And that was well done, right over the top rope. You know you wouldn't let some random person do that.
No. And then she follows him out and hits and scoop slams him on the floor and then rolls him back in. Like, kind of a pointless on the outside. And then she scoop slams him. And then she picks him up and goes for the suplex, and he just small packages her, and it's over. So Miss TNA Bruce defends her crown in 1 minute and 57 seconds.
Yeah, another bullshit match. But you love him. You really love him.
So we cut to the back, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
And Goldilocks is with Jeff Jarrett and asks what he did to Lawler. And he says nothing, and he gets for nothing. He goes towards the match, and he said he keep playing the game till the belt is around his waist. Pretty much, he just wants a title, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes into the bathroom and he yanks Bill Barron's out of the shitter. He's in there, pants down, but his underwear up, yeah. And he's still wearing his cowboy hat.
Cowboy hat.
His cowboy hat's still on. I'm like, what the serious?
Set up, yeah.
and then he just yells at him, and then he leaves. And then Bo is walking by, and Teal bumps into him.
Teal, the midget. Yeah.
Teal, the smallest extreme athlete. And Bo goes, "You bumped into me, so we're gonna settle it. This is professional wrestling. We're gonna settle this in the ring."
Yeah, that's a match.
And then throughout this entire scene, Alive by POD was playing.
Oh, yeah, right?
Just in the background, the song's playing, and I'm like, this is so friggin' low rent. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm like, you don't have... I'm surprised they didn't get sued by POD.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so they cut back the ring. It's time for match number three of the evening, and this is at 42 minutes into this show.
This is the other match you like.
No, this definitely wasn't. This is the last man standing match between Malice and Big Don and Heavy D, Big Don Harris.
You said this was the other match you liked.
No, that's coming up.
Oh, the Detroit fight you like.
Okay. Yeah, that one I enjoyed. Gotcha. But yeah, so Malice versus Big Don Harris. Nobody enjoys this.
No.
The rest of the new church. The rest of the... No, dude.
No concussion protocol there again, man. Damn, they
definitely
were just
not
whacking that thing into each other's heads.
So, the new church is banned from ringside, so no James Mitchell, no Slash, no Tempest. They do a recap of the First Blood last week, which was just stupid to me. Big Don comes out. He's wearing an SS shirt, dude.
Well.
Like a Nazi SS shirt. He's a friggin' Nazi.
He's not coming, man.
They start brawling. Big Don hits Heavy D hits a black hole slam out of nowhere. Then takes the chair, smacks Malice in the head. Then hits Malice in the head again.
Those are nice hair shots. This time he drew blood, finally.
Yeah. So Malice ends up powders to the outside. Goes to the outside. Malice gets up and gets Big Don, tosses him on the outside, and then beats on him. And they ends up knocking him to the floor. Then Malice gets more powder, throwing it at Don's face. And it's just like... Then he takes the chair and just wham, and this is right
all
on the floor.
Of them are awesome chair shots, but they're just like no thought of each other's brains at all.
Not even a bit. And they brawl on the outside, throwing each other into the rail. Malice then they go up to the top. They fight up to the top of the stage. Malice tosses Heavy D off in the worst stage toss I've ever seen in my life. He goes off and then kind of just catches himself on the railing as he comes down. And he just pretends to sound like he's hurt. Oh my god, it was so unimpressive. Malice goes to the ringside to get a chain, but then Heavy D just out of nowhere just runs up and just attacks him. And then gets the chain, hits a clothesline, and clotheslines him with the chain and chokes him a bit. And then Heavy D throws a table into the ring, then tosses Malice in. Then as Big Donnie's coming in, Malice just is like, screw this, I'm no selling this shit, as usual. And he starts attacking Heavy D, man. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, I hate Malice so friggin' much.
Yep.
Man, he is no longer the wall to me. He is the
He's the worst.
I hate this guy. He's the worst I've ever seen. No, there's worse. But he is not good, man. Like, he's got no ability to sell. Malice ends up missing a chair shot, and then gets the boot. Don gets the boot up and just boots him right in the chair, right into his face. Yep. I absolutely love that. That was great. I always love seeing somebody getting booted, a chair booted into their face. Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah, it's always funny. It's like so dramatic. You just don't expect it. You wonder if it hits him in the face at all, or if it just was well done. You know, he probably threw it, but you know, it looks like it hits him in the face.
So Big Don ends up setting up a table, and he breaks the leg. Did you notice that? As he swings the one leg out, it goes way too far to get. So he has to like balance it properly to get it to stand up. And then the announcers are going like, "Heavy D's setting up the table that Malice threw in," even though like not even a minute ago, Heavy D threw the table in.
Yeah, exactly. He pulled it out. Malice was gonna do it, and then he set it up. It's like, who knows?
I didn't. And then, Big Don goes to whip Malice, but he gets reversed, and then Malice hits a powerbomb. Then Malice tries to hit the chokeslam through the table, but Don hits a DDT on Malice. But after this big DDT, guess who gets up first? Malice!
Yeah,
he cannot... He can't sell!
And then, that's what makes the ending even less sensical.
Malice puts Big Don on the top turnbuckle. Malice then backdrop suplexes Don through the table. But, like, I swear Malice was the one that went through the table on this.
Yeah, and that's why they tried to say how the match ended. But it was
so the ref out. The ref starts counting. He gets to, like, 8. And Heavy D, Big Don Harris, gets up. And the ref counts Malice out.
Finally, Malice sells.
Not even 10 seconds later, Malice got the fuck up.
Yeah.
And they stare each other down, and then Don just puts his fist out, and Malice fist bumps him.
Yeah, like, what the hell is that all about?
It's over?
Yeah.
It's over. Their feud is over.
Sportsmanship, man.
Yeah.
Malice? And then the people of the new church have any sense of sportsmanship?
Yeah. So Don Harris wins the last man this grueling long last man standing match at 7 minutes and 8 seconds.
And there's no reason why Malice couldn't have got up and shouldn't have. I mean, the match should have gone longer. The ending just like why
God.
Is he out for 10 all of a sudden?
Why would you want this? Why would you want this match to go longer?
Yeah, I guess that's the point. But it was just a dumb ending. It didn't seem like a match.
No.
Would have ended that way in any real. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
So they, this is garbage. But we're gonna cut to the back, and Goldilocks is in the back, and she's promoing T.O. versus Bo Dup. Stan's all scared. He's afraid of midgets. He ends up running into the door at one point. And he says he's so scared. The little hands, the little legs. It was just, I was laughing my ass off. And then Stan becomes scared of Goldilocks' shirt.
Oh my.
I'm just like, what the hell? And then Bo says, don't worry, Stan, I'm gonna fight T.O. This is a big mismatch, man. So we go back to the ring, and it's time for match number 4 of the evening, and it is for the NWA Duff Cup, Bo Dup versus T.O. So
stand up is getting points too, which makes absolutely no sense.
Well, no, because they are partners in each Duff Cup they enter. So he is technically part of this match. So Bo and Stand Up versus T.O. Just so people are aware, I'm going to go over the rules again.
Please.
Because I have a big gripe about these rules. I have a big gripe about these rules come at the end of this match. You put an opponent through a table, 2.5 points. Put an opponent through a burning table, 5 points. Put an opponent's head in a toilet, 2.5 points. Okay, that's where he got his 2.5 points then.
Oh, if they're shitting it, it's 5. That's why he got the 5.
Oh, if they're shitting it, it's 3.5 points.
Oh, 3.5, sorry.
Yeah, if you goose a woman, 2.5. If you goose a man, 3.5.
Right.
Nail Jeremy Borash, it's 2.5. Nail Sarah the Ticket Lady, it's 2.5. Use a farm animal, 2.5. Spank an opponent with horsey poo, which is this their little horse thing, 2.5. They like it, -2.5.
Yeah.
Introduce an opponent to Jay, as we found out last week, the blow-up doll, 2.5 points. Cry like a pussy, which comes into this match, -5 points. Put an opponent's head, this is my favorite of them all, put an opponent's head in a cotton candy machine for 1 full rotation. You win. It's a 10-point. 10-pointer, if you're not negatives. It's a 10-pointer, though. Hit an opponent with a fan-brought weapon, 1 point. A bunch of these come into place. Yeah. So, Bo has horsey poo as it comes down. And then T.O. attacks Borash. 2.5 points for T.O.
Yeah.
T.O. then gets a, I don't know, the fans are holding random weapons, I guess.
Yeah.
T.O. gets a pan from the fan. And then a chair from the fan cracks Bo with both and gets himself 2 more points. He gets a 4.5. T.O. then crotches Bo with horsey poo. But remember, he's not beating him with it, so it's not, you don't know. And then he starts to chase Stan, who starts crying like a pussy.
Yeah.
And loses the Dup's 5 points. So at this point, it's T.O. 4.5 points to the Dup's -5 points.
Yeah.
This is where I realized Stan was in the match.
Yeah,
I didn't realize.
He's crying like a pussy.
So T.O. comes back in, and this is where Bo just takes his friggin' head off. Like, just boots him in the face and then does, like, a jumping splash. He hits T.O. with a pan from the crowd, a toilet seat from the crowd, and a chair from the crowd for 3 points to go up to -2. So it's T.O. 4.5 to the Dup's -2. Then Stan gives the... like, has this board that says, like, no midgets or something on it. Midgets or no little people. And he gives it to the fan, takes it back, and then Bo ends up putting T.O. through the board to get himself another point. And then...
and brought weapon my butt.
Yeah. Then Stan gooses Don West to get 3.5 points. Goose Don West, 3.5 points. Or if Goose Man, 3.5 points. Goose's Don West. Or Stan gooses him. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Goose's Don West and gets himself up to 3.5. Or up to 2.5 points. So at this point, T.O. 4.5 versus the Dup's 2.5. Stan then goes after Sarah, but she beats on him.
Yeah, with Bo, the broom, man. That was so awesome.
Then Bo goes to put T.O. into the porta potty, but Puppet comes out attacking.
Surprise!
So, this is where everything kind of falls apart for me. Because T.O. puts Bo's head in the porta potty with poop in it and gets 3.5 points.
I thought it was 5 if there was shit in it.
I wrote these down last week, and I've got Shitting at 3.5. If it is 5 points, okay, that's why. But even then, he would only be at 9.5.
Yeah, which shouldn't have been 10. Why is that the end of the match?
And then he's like, he's waving at the ref, and the ref just calls it. So it, according to mine, he wins it at 8 points.
Yeah, it's
according to you, he wins it at 9.5. Either way, he doesn't win.
Yeah, there's a point missing somewhere.
So the ref calls for the win at 4:25, and T.O. is your new NWA Dove Cup champion.
Yep.
Thank God that's over.
What? Yeah.
Guess what's next?
Girls dancing in cages!
You got that right, damn it. Yeah, more girls dancing in cages. And then they go to a recap video of Monty Brown and Ela Skipper over these past few weeks in their feud that's been building up. That's going to culminate here tonight in a dish. Detroit Street Fight in a match I actually quite match of the year quality, but it wasn't a bad match. I enjoyed this.
I like watching people beat the crap out of each other like that. It was okay. Yeah.
So Elix comes out first and he says this is his house. He says he hasn't given him permission to be here, so get the heck out. So Ela, and then Monty or Abyss's music plays. Because it will be Abyss's music. And Elix runs up the ramp to intercept him as he comes out, as he's supposed to come out the face ramp, the good guy ramp. But Monty smartens up and runs out the bad guy ramp and attacks Elix from behind. And the match starts. And then Monty Brown beats on Ela Skipper, picks him up military press style, and just tosses him into the ring. Through the rope. Dude, this guy's got strength, man.
Yep.
Monty then gets a hold of, I don't know if it was a chain or a belt or what it was, but then he hangs Elix Skipper like Truth was doing to Norman a few weeks back.
Yep.
Yeah, Elix then gets a hold, oh, it was a chain. So Elix gets a hold of the chain and or gets a chain, and then Monty comes at him, and he hits, as Monty like comes off the apron for like a, I guess a double axe handle?
Something.
And he just punches him in the gut with the chain. And then Elix starts choking him. Elix then tosses a garbage can into the ring, but gets attacked by Monty Brown.
A
couple, yeah, you're right. And Monty Brown then tosses Elix inside the ring. Elix then hits Monty Brown with a trash can lid as he comes in, and then just keeps hitting him with it, and then gets on top to pin him, and as soon as he gets on top, Monty kicked out. He got a no count. You didn't even get a one count. He got a no count. And then Monty goes off the, like, runs off the rope, goes to, like, crossbody splash Elix. Elix just does the Matrix dodging out of it, and Monty goes, like, crashing to the floor.
Yeah.
And then
lands on a trash can, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then I think, yeah, lands on a trash can. And then Elix ends up splashing him on the can. And splashes him with a can for a two count. Then Elix gets a hold of a stop sign and just goes to town on Monty Brown's head.
Stop.
Pretty much. And
stop.
And then in the second shot, just gets a smack back into his face.
Punches it right back at him.
Monty Brown then hits the Evolution. Then he hits the Alpha Bomb onto the can for the win at 5:42.
I thought it could be longer. That's the only thing, my only gripe.
This is a match I would have been happy with 8 to 10 minutes.
Should have let him fight.
I would have very much enjoyed 8 to 10 minutes between these guys, because both are good quality workers, and it was an enjoyable street fight.
Maybe the promoter from the back room said, "Oh, stop." Sorry.
Pretty much. So we cut to the back, and Goldilocks is with the Flying Elvises and says they must be nervous. They say Jimmy Yang and Estrada said they have mixed emotions. It's been 25 years since the King died. That's why they're wearing the armband for, and it says WWKD, what would King do?
Really living the Elvis, you know, aspect of it all, and then freaking Siaki, not at all.
But before we move on to Siaki of it all, the WWKD, what would King do? Have you ever watched a spectacular bomb called Ready to Rumble?
I think so.
So in this movie, Ready to Rumble, and it's a movie I own on VHS, DVD, and digitally. I didn't pay for it digitally, though. I still own the DVD. But I have this movie. I've watched this movie more times than I care to admit. And in the movie, at one point, one of the guys has this leather bracelet on. And do you know what it says?
What?
WWKD. What would King do?
Oh, wow.
So essentially, they stole the armband thing from Ready to Rumble. In my opinion, anyway. They stole the What Would King Do from Ready to Rumble. I just thought it was funny. It just felt like being like, Ready to Rumble reference. What the shit?
You know, it's sad that this is almost the entire show over already, and it's, nothing really happened besides, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Nothing really happens on this show except for some in-ring shit and Jeff Jarrett and Ron the Truth Killing. We get back to the interview, and it's Siaki says Elvis died in a toilet. He is the bloodline, and he is the Elvises. They should worship Sonny Siaki.
Yeah, just another ego promo from Sonny Siaki. Really,
pretty much.
Just for that.
But guess what?
We got a match.
No. We got girls in cages dancing.
First before the match? Oh, wow.
It cuts to the girls in the cages as Loki's music starts playing, and then they cut to Loki.
Oh, yeah.
So Loki comes out first, even though he's defending the championship. And then out come the Elvises. So Siaki starts the match up with Loki.
Actually, I have some stuff on this match.
Oh, go ahead.
Anyways, even though they don't tell you right away, apparently it's an elimination match. You lose, you leave ringside. They say this 5 minutes into the match, practically.
They stated it when they were promoing it after the opening promo.
They just reminded them, I guess. But yeah, it's like, I didn't even realize it was. I kind of missed that part at the beginning. But anyways,
yeah.
At the start, Siaki throws Loki, but Loki lands on his feet with a little Graceland. Uh-huh. Loki goes for a cartwheel title crush, but Siaki catches him and throws him down hard with a drop powerbomb. Then Jorge tags Siaki's back. Siaki looks a little perturbed but decides, that's all right, mama, if that's all right with you, that's all right, mama, any way you do, that's all right. But anyway, Jorge comes in and does a running moonsault down on Loki, covers for the 1-2, but Loki says, No way, Jorge. Sorry, but I ain't got much for this match.
Oh, that was great.
Then Jorge does the Disco Inferno dance for the crowd. See, I got it right this time.
Disco Inferno dance, baby. Because I don't remember the King ever doing that dance.
No. Maybe the Honky Tonk Man a little bit. But then he grabs Loki on his shoulders and does his rolling senton. He calls the trip to Graceland. He vaults off the top rope and tries to reverse moonsault on a Loki. But Loki once again says, no way, Jorge, and puts his legs up to make it a hunk of burning pain for Jorge's midsection.
Way. Jorge. No way.
Jorge. Yes, a hunk of burning pain for poor Jorge's midsection. Oh, well.
Yep.
Anything from you for this so far?
No, you're covering most of it, man. I just love it. Someone's played a long air.
Then Loki hits three vicious kicks to Jorge. A few minutes later, Loki does his on-the-top-rope dragon sleeper move. He calls the bite of the dragon on Jorge. Very sick. You know, we always talk about how great that is.
I love that.
Yes, Siaki breaks it up. Loki puts a normal dragon sleeper on Siaki then and holds on for dear life. However, Siaki drives him down hard. Then Jorge does an over-the-top rope moonsault from the outside of the ropes onto Loki. Lots of sick
gets it, and he gets a two count out of that.
Two count, right. Then of course, no way, Jorge. But then Jorge tags in Jimmy Yang, finally, who comes in a hammer.
Jimmy Wang Yang.
Jimmy Yang Yang.
Jimmy Wang Yang, baby.
Yeah, it's a top turnbuckle leg lariat onto Loki. Beautiful. Then Jimmy Yang does some sort of leg sleeper on the top turnbuckle on Loki, basically right back at you for that dragon sleeper thingy. Awesome.
Yeah, it was like a leg thing instead of the It looked really good.
Yeah, they did some pretty cool stuff like that. And then Loki finally counters with a vicious vicious drop neck suplex on Yang. Then Loki tags in Jorge, and we have Jorge Estrada against Jimmy Yang, which is absolutely stupid.
Why this is where I got confused. Now, this is where I got super confused.
Yeah.
I thought this was an elimination handicap match.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Loki could tag out. Like, I thought this was a handicap. I was like, this makes no friggin' sense.
Like, why would they? And why would they want Loki not in the match, anyways?
Yeah, and then they start, instead of one of them tagging Loki, they start wrestling each other.
Like, that is so dumb. If anybody shouldn't be wrestling each other, it should be those two. They were the ones who could work together the most, take out the other two, and then one of them wins the title. It was the dumbest thing, booking thing I've seen in a very, very long time.
Oh, it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man. And then, of course, I keep going on about how stupid it was. But anyways, it ruins the match. Estrada drop kicks Yang to the middle rope. Then he moonsault vaults off the top of the, sorry, a second rope onto Yang outside the ring. Then Jimmy Yang hits a dropkick on Jorge and puts him in a Boston Crab to tag him out. Oh, come on. Don't be cruel, man. That was total crap. He's your partner. Your best chance of beating Loki and even Siaki. The match just even gets even more stupid after that, though.
Well, no. The fact is he turns him over. He no-sells the tornado DDT that Estrada hits. And then he just grabs him, flips him. Boston Crab. He tapped out within like a second or two.
Like what? It was like not just that ruined the match to begin with, but it just gets even worse. It's like,
oh god.
That's where that match became absolutely stupid. But anyways, a sick off the top rope missile dropkick by Yang to Loki almost gets a three count, and then a Yang backbreaker, and then Yang goes to moonsault off the top turnbuckle, but then Siaki
Yang time.
Yeah, then Siaki trips him, allowing Loki to hit his finisher on Yang to eliminate him. What's Loki's finisher called again? I couldn't
remember. The Key Crusher 99.
Key Crusher 99, yeah. And he eliminates Yang then. And like, what? Like, serious, I understand Siaki's an ego.
So Siaki is so cocky that he thinks,
Siaki's so cocky.
I can eliminate my own partner.
You're a poet and don't know it.
I can have this guy eliminate my own partner and then come in and beat him.
And
my partner isn't going to be mad at me.
Yeah, like no kidding. And I mean, they could have just had it really be Loki against Siaki, and have the two guys at his ringside or something.
That would have made so much more sense.
And this could actually have been a good match too, but instead we get a stupid finish with just these two guys for like a minute. It's like, oh man.
Yeah.
I mean, we get this crap fest. Siaki and Loki battle out for a minute. Beautiful off the trope vault kick from Loki to Siaki. Takes down Loki with the right hand, sorry?
Well, before the disaster, like that vault disaster kick, Siaki, one of my favorite moves from him, he did that pop up into the Samoan drop.
Oh, right.
Oh, I love that move.
that is a nice move.
But then Loki hits that, I think it's called, Cody does it, the disaster kick.
Yeah.
Off the middle rope and gives that kick to the head.
Take down Loki. Yeah, that goes off. Anyways, Siaki takes down Loki with the right hand after that.
Yeah.
And then
just
goes off the rope for an attack, and Jimmy Yang comes back, grabs his foot, and in the confusion, Loki rolls over Siaki into a pin and gets the three count to retain the title.
And 9 minutes, 22 seconds of up till about halfway through this match, it was good.
Yeah. Like,
then about halfway through this match, Estrada started fighting his team.
And it goes to shit. I mean, even the short little match between Siaki and Loki is dumb. They should have just made it an epic match between Siaki and Loki.
You could have had
part of the corner, or could have had him. And you could have just screwed him, or could have even had the Elvises have a falling out beforehand and make it a fatal four way. I mean, so much more they could have done with this.
Yeah, or you could have just had a singles match for 9 minutes and 22 seconds of Siaki and Loki just killing each other for 9 minutes. I would have been raving had that been the match.
You guys could have screwed him out or something. Like, I mean, they could have done so much with it. But
anyways,
the match was just garbage. I mean, it's a junka junka burning crap. They're dancing to the jailhouse croc. Suede snooze.
Oh, dude, come on. Oh, no, but that's terrible, man. So we cut to the back, and Goldilocks is in the... And it's Goldilocks, but earlier in the day, she goes to interview Jerry Lynn, and he's going somewhere, and she's like, hey, can I come along? And she's like, yeah, sure, get in the car. And he brings Goldie and her cameraman with him. And she starts asking about AJ. He says, they will be fine. Then he gets out of the car, and AJ's like, it looks like AJ's in front of a store that has bathtubs outside.
Yeah.
And he just starts beating the crap out of AJ Styles, and then just tosses him in a bathtub. Yeah. And then he's like, you respect me or something.
Yeah.
And then just walk, and just leaves.
Yeah. So dumb.
Makes no sense at all.
So
but guess what's next?
Girls dancing. y'all?
Yes. But up next is Jive Talking.
Oh yeah, why do they have to?
I'm gonna say this. I wish I had Kyle on for just this reason, because remember how jazzy he was for Dean Baldwin?
Oh, yeah.
This entire thing, don't get me wrong, he did a good job playing the character, because this is Shark Boy who literally was in the first. This is Shark Boy, the man who was in the first match of the night.
Oh, that was Shark Boy. Okay.
Dean Baldwin is Shark Boy. His real first name is Dean. It's not. Last name is Baldwin, but he's supposed to be playing a Baldwin brother, right?
Oh, he's not really a Baldwin. Okay,
no. He's just he has a different last name, but he's pretending to be a Baldwin brother, and this was stupid.
Before we get more about Alec and Kim Basinger, like,
he just wants to know about their sex life.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, I wouldn't want to know about Kim Basinger's sex life. Not like this.
Maybe back then she was a little bit better looking, but now, heck no.
Oh, yeah, Kim Basinger was awesome at that time.
Man. Yeah.
My stepmother was an alien.
Out of nowhere, I almost said Jerry, Brian Lawler comes out, and he's pissed off about Jeff Jarrett, and then he's getting all mad, and then Dean Baldwin says, I don't know you, so you can beat it. And then I keep wanting to say Jerry.
He's going to say Jerry.
And then Lawler just, like, Brian Lawler just grabs Dean and just starts throwing him around the set. And he just trashes the set. Security comes out, drags him off. Disco Inferno says, next week I'm going to have a TV star on my show. Okay, I don't care. This sucked.
Your show is terrible. Go away.
So we cut back to the back, and it's Goldilocks with, guess who?
The Dubs. I can't understand a word Stan is saying.
All I know is they're pissed off about losing the cup, and Stan says he will never come back until they get rid of the midgets. Well, he's doing this, like, drunk fucking gimmick. So, we go back to the ring, and it's time for the main event of the evening.
Main event of the evening.
And it is for the NWA Tag Team Championships.
Oh, joy.
Jeff Jarrett and the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Ron the Truth Killings, taking on the team that didn't walk out with their belts, the NWA Tag Team Championships, and you know how much I hate when people don't walk out with their belts.
Yeah.
Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles. Mr. Intensity.
AJ Styles was not there.
He is scheduled to be.
What's up with that?
So, Jeff Jarrett comes out first, and then as Ron's music starts playing, guess what they do? Just guess. They cut the girls in cages dancing.
Oh, okay, right. I missed that.
And then they show a girl in cages dancing, and then they cut to the stage, and Truth is out there. I'm like, okay.
Wow. Great way to promote your NWA champion.
No, but I think it worked for him. I think it kind of worked.
Just,
you know what I mean?
Rapping. I mean, whoever thought that would be a revolutionary concept.
Yeah. So Jerry Lynn music hits, he comes out, and Jeff Jarrett and Truth hit the floor and beat the crap out of him before AJ Styles come out. And then they start asking, is AJ Styles even going to come out here after that attack? So a lot of double team attacks. They hit a double suplex onto Lynn, and then AJ runs down and he attacks both Truth and Jarrett.
Well, all these guys hate each other. I mean, that was the only good part of this match at all.
So Lynn goes and runs like he's going to close on AJ, but AJ ducks, and Lynn hits Jeff Jarrett. Then AJ hits a corkscrew splash, they're fighting back and forth, and he knocks him down, he goes to the apron, does a corkscrew splash back in, and then they're fighting back and forth, and then AJ goes to drop toe hold Jeff Jarrett, and Jeff Jarrett goes for the drop toe hold, but he realizes he's way too close to the ropes, and like he curls up in a ball and goes head first into the mat. I laugh so hard. I'm like, oh, that was mistimed very badly. And then he rolls out of the ring. AJ hits the aside moonsault. He can go, like, you know how he does the springboard into the DDT, the moonsault into the DDT?
Yeah.
So he goes for the move. As he's coming down, Jeff Jarrett just backs the heck up. AJ's legs clip his shoulder, and AJ just goes smack into the floor. Jarrett's just like, I'm pulling a Steven Styles. I'm not catching this jerk. Like, Jesus Christ. For some people will know what I'm talking about. Steven Styles doesn't like to catch people.
Yeah.
they come back to the ring, and Truth is fighting with Lynn. Goes for the leg lariat, but he misses and crushes himself on the rope and just falls to the ground. And then Jeff Jarrett whips AJ, and they show, you see it on the other side, Jeff Jarrett whips AJ Styles into the barricade. Back in the ring, as I wrote it, Jerry Lynn hits a huge monkey flip on Truth, and then it cuts back to the outside, and AJ whips Jeff Jarrett into the barricade. Lynn then gets up onto the second turnbuckle, and then hits the huge second rope bulldog on Truth, and then goes for the pin, but Jeff Jarrett breaks it up at two. Then AJ Styles gets in, looks like he's going to hit his discus clothesline onto Lynn, but Lynn then ducks out of the way, and AJ connects with Truth. Now, this is where the refs got stupid, because all of a sudden, I can't remember if it's Ferrara or West, but they start saying, look at Jerry Lynn, he almost hit AJ Styles again, even though it was reverse, and they go on about it for the rest of the match.
Yeah, for sure.
I really noticed that on commentary. It just annoyed the piss out of me. I don't know why. He ended up hitting Truth with the discus clothesline. So AJ and Jerry Lynn go to hit a back body drop on Truth, but Truth kicks them both. Then AJ just out of nowhere goes in for the styling moonsault DDT, but Truth just pushes Jerry Lynn in the way, and he just smacks him in the face. Like, it wasn't, like, I know that was a planned spot, but it looked a little botched, because as he flips backwards, Lynn just takes it off his face, takes AJ off his face. It was actually pretty funny.
This match was kind of clumsy, though.
It was clumsy at times, especially for these four guys.
It's four of the best they got. And they kept raving about how great these four men were.
Yeah. So, Jeff Jarrett and AJ, they end up in the corner. They go to the corner, and then Truth tags in Jeff Jarrett. Like AJ and JJ, they got to go to the outside, right? This is where the ref finally makes an actual tag match. So Truth grabs Lynn, but then he decides, screw it, and walks over, tags Jeff Jarrett. Then Jeff Jarrett comes in, hits Lynn's on the rope, like he's leaning on the second rope, hits the rope drop choke, like jumps on him, and then hits a scoop slam, gets a two count. Then he just tags Truth in. Truth then hits this, he like flips him over, he's standing over top of him, puts his legs under his arms, and pulls him out, lifts him up, and then smashes him down with a face buster. I was actually impressed by that move. I've never seen it before, and I haven't seen it since.
Yeah, it's weird. It was well done.
It was a nice little face buster. I really liked it. And then Lynn Sunset flips Truth out of the corner. They get into the corner, Lynn Sunset flips Truth out, then he only gets a two count, and then Jeff Jarrett tries to come in, so he distracts the ref, and then Lynn grabs Truth from behind for like a German, but this is where Truth like kicks him in the crotch, then he hits a spinning axe kick for Lynn, but only gets a two count. So Truth tags in Jeff Jarrett, and they go to work on Lynn, so they're double teaming, and he goes to work on Lynn. Jeff Jarrett goes to hit the stroke, but reverse, and they decide to trade sleeper holds. So, ref spot of the night.
Yeah.
But then Lynn picks up Jeff Jarrett and then just slams him back down feet first. Like, he didn't actually do anything. He just picked him up and then slammed him down to stand up again. But, like, I guess it was like a jarring or something of him, and it broke the hold. Lynn sweeps the legs, puts him down, and puts the figure four on him. But as soon as he gets down, Jeff Jarrett flips him over and immediately reverses the figure four. But he is known for the figure four, right?
Right.
So it would make sense he would be able to get out of it very quickly. So Lynn gets the ropes and breaks it up. Truth gets tagged in. Truth scoop slams Lynn and decides, I'm just going to pin him off a scoop slam. Gets a two count. I'm like, that was just not impressive. Jerry Lynn then blocks punches, but then gets whipped and then into the corner. Comes out, tries to do the clothesline, and Truth does the splits, and then out of the splits up and hits the leg lariat for two. Truth then puts Lynn on the top turnbuckle, but as he comes in, Lynn starts punching him, hits a tornado DDT out of the corner. And this is when both men are down, and they both, crawl for the corner. AJ Styles and Jeff Jarrett are tagged in. AJ comes in and just starts kicking the crap out of Jeff Jarrett. He catches the kick, kicks over, misses the enziguri, then comes back, hits the reverse mule kick. AJ then reverses a sunset flip from Jeff Jarrett into the Styles Clash, but this is where Truth runs in and hits him from behind. Then Jerry Lynn comes in and attacks Truth. Now, I really liked when Jeff Jarrett rolled over and then Styles reversed it and got him up into the Clash. Looked very impressive.
Right?
Yeah, it's a lot of good wrestling from these guys.
Yeah, there was some good spots for sure.
Yeah. Lynn then dropped toe holds Jeff Jarrett. AJ hits the flip senton for the pin, but this is where Truth breaks it up. And then Lynn hoists up. This is another botch spot of the night. Lynn then picks up Truth for the heart attack, right? And AJ Styles looks like he's gonna do the springboard version, which I've seen Teddy and Davey do multiple times, springboard off the top and hit the clothesline, heart attack style, right?
Right.
And as AJ goes to bounce, he slips and falls. You see him kind of just lightly slap Truth. But, his body weight just hits Jerry Lynn. And he goes down. And I was just like, oh, Jesus. And then so Jerry Lynn rolls off of Truth. AJ Styles runs over to get the count. I'm like, why are you even playing like it worked, you dumb fucks? But Jeff Jarrett breaks it up. AJ then dodges a back body. Jeff Jarrett whips him off, goes for the back body jump. He rolls over them, and then he goes to run and tackle Jeff Jarrett, and he tackles the ref right in the balls. I thought it was perfect.
The ref holding his nuts yet. Just so like, Lynn... what's his name? The Cool J or whatever his name is. Slim J.
Yeah. Lynn then hits Jeff Jarrett with an inverted DDT, but there's no ref. So Truth is in. Lynn then hits Truth, hits him with the cradle pile driver. But again, there is no ref for Truth for him to pin Truth, and then Jeff Jarrett just runs over and breaks up the pin.
Yeah, for what?
He drops down on him like he's breaking up the pin. I'm like, there's no pin going on, you weirdo. So this is the end of the match comes where Jeff Jarrett sets up, hits the stroke on Jerry Lynn just as AJ comes off the top with the spiral tap to Truth. Now, Jeff Jarrett starts to pin Jerry Lynn and AJ pins Truth as a second referee slides into the ring to count for AJ Styles while the original ref comes through to count for Jeff Jarrett. And they counted in sync, though.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3, well, and it was perfect. They did it perfectly. And I don't know who wins at 12 minutes and 23 seconds.
Nobody won. That's the problem.
So the refs are arguing who it is. Bullet, and then out comes Bullet Bob Armstrong. And he got out there quick.
Because
I think they were up against the end of the pay-per-view window.
Yeah,
so he got out there quick, man. And he says, we're going to hold up the titles till this is all sorted out. And he says the Truth is yelling at him. He's like, you got bigger problems to deal with because next week you're going to be defending that championship against the Alpha Male Monty Brown. And the crowd actually cheers for that because I think that's going to be very, very enjoyable.
Because AJ Styles pinned the Truth. He should be the one getting a title shot.
But I guess Monty was next in line.
Yeah.
Then he still tells AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn that are going to fight. They've been a problem. They've been fighting ever since that contenders match.
Yep.
And they're going to fight next week, and the winner's going to be number one contenders. And then Lynn wants it to be a false count anywhere. AJ wants it to be DQ. Bullet Bob says, no problem. It's a no DQ false count anywhere. but it's going to be 2 out of 3 falls. And if they get to the third fall, it's going to be a 10-minute Iron Man match, and the man with the most amount of falls wins. So the first... Why the hell don't you? Why didn't you just make it a 20-man no D, a 20-minute no DQ falls count anywhere Iron Man match?
Why'd it have to be the first fall is falls count anywhere? The second fall is no disqualification, falls count anywhere. They have to go back in the ring.
And then the third one is
an Iron Man. That's what they said at the end.
It's going to be? Okay, yeah, I didn't get that part. Oh yeah, I'm just like, just make it a no DQ falls count anywhere Iron Man match for 20 minutes. Simple, easy, done. This match because like a 10 minutes Iron Man. The first half's probably going to go between 5 and 10 minutes. So you know you're getting at least 20 minutes in that match, right? Yeah, so I'm just like, Yeah. So this is where Jeff Jarrett gets in Bob Armstrong's face. He's all mad, and then he takes the belt and he gets mad about he's not getting anything. Bullet says there's a surprise next week. Jeff Jarrett's like, who's gonna be? He's like, you're gonna have to wait till next week. I'm actually kind of wondering who it's gonna be myself. And then Jeff Jarrett's like, screw you, and he just takes both titles and walks the heck up the ramp, and Bullet Bob ends up chasing him up the ramp with the refs.
And the time is running out, but oh my god, that was, I don't know, it was crazy. And it's probably going to be Lawler. I mean, Brian Lawler. It's
probably.
Why is Jeff Jarrett not getting a title match? He's got a very valid point by this point.
At this point, he should get one, and he eventually will. We all know he will because he's a multiple-time NWA World Heavyweight Champion. But I don't know. I think they're just trying to tell the story. They're trying to screw Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, it looks like it.
But it makes no sense because he is...
He's not going anywhere. He's always freaking there.
And he's the bad guy. When you screw a guy over, it gives him sympathy. You exactly. Don't want to give the bad guy sympathy.
It's so dumb.
But, ladies and gentlemen, next week you're going to get the surprise of who Jeff Jarrett's going to face.
Yeah.
I don't know. I seriously don't know, but I'm...
Three guys again.
I don't know. It's
SAE, and they're supposed to be friends, and they're going to be doing the same thing, battling against each other. Like, what is the point?
Yeah, I don't know. But what I am looking forward to next week is Alpha Male Monty Brown versus R-Truth.
Yes.
And the number one contenders match. Yeah, I look forward to both. No matter what kind of craziness they have, Styles and Lynn are going to put on a good contest. And I think Monty Brown and Ron Killings could have a really good showing.
Yeah, it's going to have to because... Boy, I'm not looking forward to that one-on-three match again. It's like, why don't they have Loki beat all three men trying to beat him as a team? It would make him look so much stronger. It'd make it look like the odds are against him. It'd make the match make sense. And, yeah, what a way to have a champion. The stupidity of the three guys who are friends having to fight against each other is absolutely dumb.
I don't get it. I really don't. But, yeah, that's all coming up on the next edition of Total Nonstop Anarchy. Danimal, thank you very much for doing this with me, as always.
No problem. This show was definitely not the best show. It wasn't that bad. It was all about cans. Garbage cans, portable cans of all types.
It was mostly... I think this show felt like a setup for the next one, next couple.
Pretty much, yeah. It was just the story was so choppy and awkward and random.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, boy. It was hard to process. That's what I was saying, that this show was... Just left me with a sense of senseless nonsense.
Yeah, pretty much. But just so everybody's aware, the tag team titles are not going back to Jerry Lynn and AJ Styles. They will announce the tournament eventually.
Right, they did. They stripped them at least.
They strip them eventually. They get stripped, and the titles end up in a tournament. So look forward to another tag team title tournament, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, why can't they just put the titles on someone good, like the Flying Elvises when they had that match? I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, so Danimal, give me all your social medias.
You betcha. As always on Instagram at Daniel Jobber, capital D, capital J, and my favorite Instagram under Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase. and of course my pride and joy, my website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, for my fun content, and a link to Backbreaker Media merchandise courtesy of whatamaneuver.net, and especially, of course, my favorite, my own official Danimal Daniel Jobber, Jobber Champion merchandise. And of course, we got merchandise for all ages, both sexes, including kid sizes and baby onesies.
Yeah, we have everything on there. And please get the Front Row Mafia shirt. Join us, man. Be one of the Front Row Mafia. Okay. But you can catch me on Twitter at That Canada Guy, on Instagram at That Canada Dude. Please check out backbreakervod.pivotshare.com for all of the great content that Backbreaker Media puts out. RCW, which is now on, we have a few RCW shows on there now. MPW, PPW, CWC. That's the local stuff we carry. Plus, you can watch Bar Wrestling and a bunch of Bar Wrestling, which is some of the best stuff out of LA, coming out of LA right now, and a lot of great other stuff, because we are in association with Powerslam.tv. Yeah, and we are, don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we are a division of Wincolm Sports. Please check them out. And Beercade, which is a sponsor of Wincolm Sports. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us here on Total Nonstop Anarchy. And please join us again for the next edition of Total Nonstop Anarchy. Danimal, thank you very much.
You betcha, with our Canada guy. And hey, my name is, hey, my name is, hey, my name is Wicca Wicca Daniel Jobber.
Good night, everybody.
Jobber.
Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, the host of Conversations with Love, the exclusive one-on-one interview series sweeping the nation, or at the very least, the great province of Alberta, Canada. Tune in weekly to Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wincolm Sports Network, as I host a member of the independent wrestling community here in Alberta, or wherever the hell I feel like interviewing somebody from. You can only find it on Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wincolm Sports Network, and proudly sponsored by Beercade YEG.